Seems a little, I guess a little strange that I should be asked to speak when there are others here that are much better qualified for me to, than I am to speak. I'd also like to say I apologize to those of you from our home congregation that you don't have someone else that you can listen to other than your home speakers. Also, I'd like to say I'm sorry for a fresh cold that I have this morning. It will not allow me to speak too loudly. I'm glad for the speaker system that we have here that seems to be excellent. You know, I really did appreciate the theme of our brother Joel's opening message this morning. I need the precious Lord is what I'd like to say. I'd like for us to just sing another song together before we go into the message, and I'd like for someone to lead it besides myself. I find that the less I use my voice or strain it when I have a cold, the better. But let's turn to number 354. Sing that song, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Oh, may
me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, blessed Your I come to thee. Amen. I wanted to say also that I appreciate the welcome that we feel here this morning, and thank you for welcoming us here. I'd like to turn to the book of Revelation this morning for a message, Revelation chapter 3. Before we begin a reading, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning realizing that, Lord, we are completely dependent upon you. And Lord, we thank you for the opening theme this morning of being poor in spirit. Lord, we realize our poverty this morning. But Father, we thank you that we can come to someone that has what we need this morning. And so we're coming to you this morning to not only give us what we need in ourselves, Lord, but we're also looking to you to teach us this morning by your Holy Spirit, by the power of your Spirit, because, Lord, I confess that in myself I can bring absolutely nothing of value here this morning. So I'm asking, Lord, that you will take your word and that you will teach us what you want us to know by your power, by your grace. And because, Lord, you are jealous for your kingdom, and we're asking you to be the Lord of the church and that you will teach us. Be with each heart here. I pray, Lord, that there will be a hunger, that there will be an attentiveness to learn what you have to teach into each individual person here this morning. And we're looking to you and we're thanking you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, the passage of scripture that I'd like to read this morning is the message to the church of the Laodiceans, and as far as I can tell, it's the last message personally given to a specific church in the Word of God. And to me, it's in one sense, these letters to the churches in Revelations are a little bit special, because it's like we're lifted out of the epistles that Paul wrote, out of the Gospels, and we're placed into one last letter that Jesus Christ saw fit to give to his church. And he saw fit to preserve it for us today. And I fully believe that these messages are for our benefit as well as for the churches they were written to back then. Amen. And so, as we look at this last message given to a specific church, the church of the Laodiceans, I want to assure you this morning that I'm not here accusing you of anything. I'm not here saying you're lukewarm. I'm not here saying that you even need this. But I'd like to present this as something for you just to simply look at and search your own heart and say, is there anything that I can learn from the scripture in this? Amen. And I think that it deserves our attention because it is part of God's word. We're living, I believe, in the last times, and these things are very important. And I believe that the message here strikes at the very heart of our relationship with the Lord. That of how is our heart before the Lord. Let's read the message to the church of the Laodiceans. And we'll begin reading in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to take a little time this morning and just write some things on the board. I find for myself, I tend not to retain a lot from a message. That's a fault of mine, I know that. But I think for many of us, if we see something written down, it impresses us just a little bit better, and maybe quite a bit better. And I want to say this morning that I want the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. I want the Holy Spirit to take His Word and to teach you personally. I'm going to write some of these things up. The first thing I want to write down, the main thing I guess, is I want to take the list of what the people of Laodicea said they were, or what they were experiencing. I want to take their assessment, man's assessment, you might say, and then I want to take God's assessment and write it right beside it. Let's see how close they come together. We'll write up man's assessment first. Okay, what the Laodiceans said, it says, I am rich. Number one, I don't know whether number two is part of number one or whether it's something else. I tend to feel it's simply a further explanation of the way they felt, that they were rich, increased with goods. And the third thing this says, and this is really an important issue, and it fitted in very well with what our brother Joel shared in his opening, in need of nothing. God's assessment, if we look at it, we'll see that it's very different from man's assessment. God said, you're lukewarm. And lukewarm, it's neither hot nor cold. It's in between somewhere. Another thing he says, and it totally disagrees with what they said, he says, you're wretched. He says, you're miserable. You're poor. He says, you're blind. And you're naked. What a difference in their assessment. How could their assessments be at such disparity, such a difference? Man says, the Laodiceans in this case says, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I'm in need of nothing. I have what I need, I don't need anything more. But God has a word for them. He says, you're lukewarm, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. The first thing that I'd like to mention is that God says to them, I know thy works. We have a God that knows everything about us. He knows us from the inside out. We're not dealing here with just another man that can also look into this person's life and say, well, yeah, you say you have need of nothing. You say you're rich. But I see it just a little different, you know. We have God who can see from the inside out. In Psalms, I believe it's 139, we have that beautiful psalm that tells us how God knows all about us. everything about us. Now, if you're in the case, in the, such a situation to where you feel you need someone to understand and your heart is after God, that's a beautiful thought. If you're trying to run away from God, that's a very scary thought, that God knows all about me. If you need someone to understand, it's a beautiful thought. God knows all about it. He knows exactly how to judge the situation. He knows what you're experiencing. And He cares for you and He loves you. And He loves me. So we have to understand, and we do, I'm sure, that God knows completely. He understands. He knew exactly what was in their heart. Some of what we want to do this morning is to think, how did the Church of Laodicea get from where they were to where they were now? And I will admit, I don't really know anything about the Church of Laodicea, but it was an established church before the Lord. And now, I don't know how many years they were established. I have looked somewhat into the subject of when it was written. The book of Revelation, it seems that some people at least feel it was written probably in the year approximately of AD 96, which should make it a bit down the road. There were quite a few years have elapsed since Jesus had resurrected and gone back to heaven. We live in a world of deterioration where things, if left to themselves, they tend to deteriorate. And our spiritual lives, if left to themselves, will deteriorate as well. They will deteriorate. You don't have to try for that to happen. It will happen. There's been some thought, I believe, that the Church of Laodicea was a wealthy church. And I say it's very possible that they were. There is somewhat of a natural tendency, if a person is wealthy, to be self-sufficient. I believe that's a natural tendency. It doesn't have to be, but it's somewhat of a tendency. It would somewhat make sense that they probably had about what they needed in a physical way, in a material way, maybe more than they needed. They said they were increased with goods and that they had need of nothing. But how did they get from where they were to where they now were? You know, taking this very thought of lukewarmness, my mind went to this illustration, and every illustration of this nature has its limitations. This is not a perfect illustration, but I'd like to illustrate something on the board. I thought of two water faucets. We'll put a bucket under there. There's water here. Water here, there could be, doesn't have to be. Normally we will see the warm water on the left, we'll say hot. Cold over here. If I go to a water spigot or a place where I can turn on the hot or the cold, I have a choice that I can make. I can choose to turn on the hot or the cold, or I can choose to turn on both. What happens when I turn some of both on? Warm water. And, you know, there are varying degrees. You can turn on almost all cold, almost all hot. Generally speaking, your cold water is not cooled down, so it varies with the temperature of the atmosphere or whatever, temperature of your basement, whatever, you know. But the thought is that if I turn just the right mixture on of these two, the hot and the cold, if I turn just the right mixture of those two on, I will have lukewarm water if I turn the right mixture on. Is that not possible?
Yes.
It is. It's possible to have lukewarm water if I turn those two on at just the right proportions. For some reason, God saw fit to use this illustration of hot or cold and lukewarm. I believe there could be other ways to explain what He wanted to explain here. But you know, I thought of, when we think of a faucet where you can either turn hot or cold on, I thought of choices. We have choices in life, don't we? Every one of us have choices every day. Does it make a difference how we choose? We know that it does. It makes a difference how we choose, what we choose, and so on and so forth. And you know, it's somewhat of a paradox, you know, because we realize and we know that no matter what, how hard man chooses certain things, man by himself can do nothing good by himself. It's only as God rewards our choices. And He does reward our choices. But it's only as God rewards our choices that something of value is accomplished. And I appreciated the opening this morning that brought out that thought of being poor in spirit and having the power of God working in us. In one sense, I can do so absolutely nothing. But in another sense, it makes so much difference what I do and what I choose. God says, I want you to turn on the hot faucet. I want hot water, is what God is saying. I don't want lukewarm water. So by this picture, I would like for you to take this mental image with you and realize that, okay, we talked about lukewarmness. How can I relate to in this? It's not just something out there. Lukewarmness is the result of something. And in a great measure, it's the result of choices that I make every day. I can choose to turn on a mixture of both, or I can choose to turn on the hot. When I say that, I realize that we are completely dependent upon God. If God does not empower us, if God does not strengthen us, we can't do anything. But you know, God promises to do that for us, so we can depend on that. There are results, there are consequences of our choices. I appreciated the thought in the family time this morning of taking time with the family in a busy time. Does that have value? Absolutely, it does. You know, healthy families make up a healthy congregation. I have a family of six. I have only one son. I have five girls. You might say, well, okay, Brother Dan, you don't have a lot of boys. You're kind of crippled there, I guess. But you know what? I have observed that there are a lot of relational problems in marriages today. Have you seen that? I've seen that. If, by the grace of God, I can raise five girls, plus a son, but five girls that would make good marriage partners for godly men, that will help them, that will have a focus on life that is good, that love the Lord, are willing to submit and support their husbands in God's work, whatever He chooses, you know, God will have accomplished something. And your labor of investing in your family today is not a loss. It's not a liability. It's not something that, well, it's a waste of time. I could be out there making a little more money if I just didn't have to take some time with my family. Let me ask you, what value system do we have, really have? What is our value system then? You will spend time with your children, it's been said. You know, you might spend time with them now, or you might spend time with them when they're behind bars. I may not go to that extreme, but it's very worthwhile to spend time with your family and to invest in your family. You know, along with an assessment like this, God was really trying to help the Church of Laodicea. And He wants to help us today. Today, if someone is counseling someone, they usually like to know what is going on in your life, what's happening. They will take that and assess, you know, what is happening. And then, if they're a good counselor, they will give a recommendation. Or they will tell them, this is what you need to do to get back on track to receive help. This is what God did for the church at Laodicea. He didn't just leave them there, didn't just say, this is what you're like, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And he did give them that word. If they wouldn't repent, he would spew them out of their mouth, out of his mouth. But he says, I counsel you. And I looked at some of the various things that he counseled them with, and I may not be correct in what these represent, but I'd like to look at some of these anyway. If you can do better in your own quiet time at home in the Word, you know, just go ahead and do that. Meditate on it. Study it. But God says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. I don't know if you've noticed it around here or not, but I have noticed it around where we live, at least one place, and I think I may have seen another somewhere else, but they said, are saying, we buy gold. It seems like in this economic time now, there are some people at least that are valuing gold. Gold is something that endures. It's enduring and it's valuable. You know, these people, the Laodiceans, felt that they didn't need anything more. They had what they needed. They said they had wealth. But the very first counsel was, you need to buy gold. Well, we've got wealth. We've got what we need. You need something different, God is saying. You need something more. Your value system is wrong. You're valuing material finances, I believe, when you should be valuing something that lasts forever. Last night, we had the beautiful opportunity of visiting Brother Amos Rudolph and his wife. And for those of you who know him, he told us last night that, I believe he said he's been in a wheelchair now for almost 40 years. Beautiful testimony of enduring the hardships of life. He has a sweet testimony. As I think of this gold, I guess my thought went to 1 Peter. And chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, if you would just turn to that and look at that with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. What is this gold that's tried in the fire that he's talking about here? He says here, breaking into the chapter in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at this passage of Scripture, what would we say is more precious than gold? Is it his faith or is it his trial? I believe it's his faith. But it's his faith that is tried by fire. Or though it be tried with fire, if it is tried by fire. I would like to suggest to us this morning that the gold tried with fire that Jesus Christ is recommending to the church of Laodicea is a faith that will endure. A faith that will endure anything and everything that comes our way. And you know that only this can be done by the power of God. It cannot be done by us saying we're going to do it. It can't be done by that. But you know, as we look to God and as we depend upon Him and as we commit our lives to Him in surrender, full surrender, He will see that that happens. Do we have this faith that's going to stand the test of time? Gold tried in the fire. Even if fiery trials come, are you still going to stand by the grace of God? Are you going to cave in? You know, to have this faith, we need to have a good vision. We need to have a vision that sees the real issues. And we need to see the consequences of not having this faith, of not enduring. And we need to see the rewards of enduring. We need to see what's going to happen in the future. We need to have a vision. And God says, this is my recommendation. This is my counsel for you. First of all, that you will buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, I find it interesting that He uses the term buy. Why does God use the term buy? I thought salvation was free. It reminds me of verses like Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and buy. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. But why does He say buy it? Why does He say to buy? Trying to see here is where some of my notes are a little bit lost. Buy of me gold. Proverbs 23, verse 23. I'd like to read a verse there. It says here, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. Another verse that I'd like to read in connection with this thought is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. It's a parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Does it cost to be a Christian? You can't buy Christianity with money. But you know what? It does cost to be a Christian. Just like our brother said, to spend extra time with his family, that will probably cost him dollars and cents, but you know what? The investment is very worthwhile. And for us to commit our lives to serve Him unreservedly and forever is going to cost us things in this life. It will cost us things. But it's an investment. Where is our vision of what is really a valuable investment? We do make investments, whether we think about it or not. We invest in one thing or the other. I believe that God is saying, invest in me. It will not cost us money necessarily. At times it might cost us, yeah, to do something right. But it's an investment that will exclude some of the other things that we would have wanted to do, maybe. It will cost us to be a Christian. Don't expect it to be any other way. It's an investment, and it's costly sometimes. We see here that with the condition of the Laodicean church, there was blindness on their part. Why the blindness? Why was their assessment so different from what God's assessment was? I believe one of the things was that there was blindness in their hearts. They had blindness there. They weren't seeing clearly. They felt that they had what they needed. But God says, no, you have far from what you need. You need something much more than what you have. He says, you are wretched. I looked up the word wretched in the Webster's dictionary, and it says very unfortunate in condition or circumstance, miserable, pitiable. You know, why didn't they see it? But I believe it was a spiritual condition that they were not seeing. That's all I can figure out. Because they probably were doing well financially and they probably had things good. It seems like that was the case. But there was blindness. And let me, in connection with this, read a verse from the scriptures. Or several verses, actually. I'll bring out a couple of thoughts from this passage. It's in Matthew chapter 6. And in verses 19 through 24. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. He says here, Jesus is saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now listen to this. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I got ahead of myself. I misread that. Let's start over. But if thine eye... No, I'm on the wrong verse now. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. By the way, I would like to title this message, and I didn't remember to do that at the beginning, but I'd like to entitle it, A Single Love. A Single Love. This passage of Scripture is a very, very striking passage of Scripture. It strikes at the very core of our hearts. It strikes right down there, where is your love? What do you and I love more than anything else in the world? You know, in the Old Testament we read, and it was repeated in the New through someone that Jesus was having a discourse with, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love him with all of our heart. May I say that I believe that the Laodiceans church, their trouble began when they began to love other things. To love something more than God himself. God is a jealous God. And when we love things that he has created, whether it's money, possessions, pleasures, hobbies, other people, interests of whatever you might name, if we love these things, if these things are our love, we are in trouble. Right there. We're going to go downhill if we don't repent of that and make him our first and only real love. It's a heart issue that we're speaking about here this morning. If thine eye be evil, if that focus, if what you're looking with is your eye, you're going to have a lot of darkness. I believe that deception is going to come into our hearts when our focus is divided, when our affection is divided, when our attention is on other things. Life is a paradox, isn't it? You know, we need God's power and grace and love in our hearts to make good choices, don't we? And when we make good choices, we'll prosper in our Christian lives, and God will help us to make other good, right choices. But you know, if we start making bad choices, and that is our responsibility, you know, the type of choices we make, we can turn either faucet, I believe. When we make those bad choices, they will result in deterioration in our spiritual lives. They will have a natural result, I believe. So I believe for the church to maintain a vibrant, hot walk with the Lord, it takes a balance of various things. You know, we can't just say, well, it's a heart issue. Let's just talk about the issues of the heart. There are very practical issues that also need to be addressed in our daily lives. Like for me as a parent, I trust I have more wisdom than my young children. I will tell them certain things that, no, let's not do that. And I don't even always explain why. I believe that we need to teach, you know, to stay away from some things, that it's not good, it's harmful. Why? Because it's not good for our spiritual lives. It's not good for the long-term enduring of the church. It's not good for it's not good for our personal lives. You know, we need to teach some things. We need to stay away from some things. But if we only teach to stay away from some things and don't teach the heart issues, we're again imbalanced. It's not going to work. It's going to be like, say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Well, I can not do that, but if I don't have that inner power that will enable me to live the Christian life, I won't have what I need. If I don't touch in some of the practical areas that I need to stay away from, they will have a result on my inner man. It's a balanced teaching that we need in the house of the Lord. We need to stay away from some things, but we need to run for many other things. We need to run after the Lord. We need to run after a heart relationship with the Lord that is hot. If we don't have that, the other is very lame. The other becomes then, I believe, a system of law. Are we willing to live a balanced Christian life? I'm probably past time, aren't I? I don't know, what time do you close here? Go on some more. God saw their need. He saw the Laodicean church's need as desperate. They were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. How much worse off can you get? He says that if you don't change, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. It was like, we have come to the last of this, of my endurance. Pitiable condition. Jude verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. We have a choice every day of what we want to do with God's grace. James said that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Do we see the cause and effect of our actions, of our choices every day? It can be as simple as saying, well, am I going to spend some leisure time tonight, or am I going to get in the Word? It can be as simple as that. Choices, choices, choices. Every day we make choices. What am I going to do with the choices that God gives to me? And you know, God says there is a principle that stands. He says you cannot serve me and mammon, which is money. I think along with mammon, we can put in many other things. You can't serve me and serve yourself. You can't serve me and serve pleasure. You can't serve me and serve the society around you. I am a jealous God. I want a relationship that is exclusive. A single love to God. If thine eye be single. If we have a total commitment to serve God, God's going to give us light. He's going to give us understanding. And He's going to lead us and guide us. So what is our love? What level of love do we have toward God this morning? Are we willing to buy of Him gold tried in the fire? I asked Brother Amos Rudolph last night, I said, during those years, have you ever been very discouraged? And I meant to ask him, you know, where he was just about ready to give up or throw in the towel. He's a little hard of hearing. He kind of went on talking. I never quite got him to answer it exactly like that. He said, I can't say, you know, that I've not been discouraged. I have been discouraged. He told me that, and I shouldn't have been. But, you know, obviously he was never ready to give up his faith. He has a faith that's enduring. And I expect that Brother Amos Rudolph, his faith, his love for the Lord will carry him all the way through. I believe he has a faith of gold, tried in the fire. Can you imagine yourself to be in a wheelchair for 40 years? That would be a real trial. But you know, God is giving him grace for his trial. And God will give us grace for our trials, for our tests, if we but give ourselves to Him and trust Him, are committed to obey Him. Buy of me gold. And then he says, buy white raiment. I'm not going to elaborate on that really, but as far as I can say, the white raiment is a true Christian life. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's true Christianity. It's true righteousness. It's not our own. It's not works. But it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then he also says, he doesn't say buy. He says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. I'd like to just read a little bit out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, having to do with eye salve. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. He says here, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. I believe this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us to see. But you know, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. If we turn on that cold faucet, the Holy Spirit will be grieved if we keep on doing that. It grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, the person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has feelings that can be touched. If we make Him feel unwelcome, He will be grieved. And when the Holy Spirit is not operating freely in our lives, we don't have the vision that we need. He says, anoint your eyes with eye salve. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life, I believe. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, and this has to do with God's counsel. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Here again we have this passage that very vividly gives us an example of consequences of making the right choices. Are we going to take God's counsel this morning, buying of him gold tried in the fire, white raiment, that we might be clothed, that the shame of our nakedness do not appear, and have our eyes anointed with eye salve, that we might truly see? You know, this passage of Scripture in Revelation that God writes to the church of Laodicea does not end with judgment, but it ends with a promise. The first thing I'd like to mention is in verse 21, you know, and a faith is not a faith of gold unless it's an overcoming faith. It's God's will for every one of us to be overcomers. To him that overcometh, the promise is, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Can you imagine that? That Jesus Christ is promising here, to you who overcome, church, I'm going to have you, and I'm going to allow you to sit with me in my throne. Amen. What a promise. Are we worthy of that? No. Absolutely not, but that's what he says. If you overcome, church, you're going to sit with me in my throne, with Jesus Christ in his throne. Can you fathom that? But that's his promise. To him that overcometh. Brothers, a faith of gold that's tried is a faith that's going to be rewarded. An overcoming faith will be rewarded. But you know, we have choices. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup or fellowship with him, and he with him, with me. God promises fellowship to those who open the door, listen to his invitation, listen to His bidding, and invite Him in. Are you going to open the door and have fellowship with Christ? Am I going to be doing that on a daily basis? And, you know, in the small things of life, on the daily small things of life, when that still small voice speaks to us right here and says, turn on the hot water. And we say, but I'd like a little of that cold too. It's going to be a reward if we do this right here. But if we start compromising and turning on a little of both, that's where the lukewarmness sets in. And I can't say here as to how fast that happens, how all that works. But there are consequences to our daily choices, to the small little areas of life. And that's where many times where they start is in the little small areas of life. And, you know, we can have these times in our lives where there's maybe some big commitments made, some real changes happen and so on, conversion, commitments, whatever. But you know, tomorrow you're going to have to choose again. This afternoon you're going to have to choose. The next day you're going to have to choose. And again, it's not all about us. It's about tapping into the power of God. Unless we are able to tap into God's power, it's all about trying a little harder. But when God's power takes effect, then there are results. My encouragement to you this morning is to, in the little small things of life, allow that to make the difference. May the Lord bless you, and thank you for your welcome to us as a family.
We can once again be thankful to God for arranging the service and making the things flow all together there with the messages, and I believe even the family verses, all those things, the singing, the worship. Very thankful to God. I was thinking of the list there that Brother Dan had up there, and he had it as his title, Man's Assessment and then God's Assessment. I couldn't help thinking if the man had had the assessment of himself over on this side, that he was poor and wretched and blind, then it would have changed God's assessment of him, and he would have been rich in the things of the kingdom of God. Just, it wouldn't have been a perfect switchover, but I just couldn't help notice that because man assessed himself as being rich, in fact, he was poor, but it was the wrong kind of poor, you know. So may we get those things right, and the way to do it is choices. And as Brother Dan kept saying, and he's right, it is the power of God, and yet the way we access that or appropriate that or the way it works in our life is we have to choose. All the power is there. But what do we do? Will we humble ourselves and do things God's way, or will we choose our own way? Still a miracle to me. It's an amazing thought that God allows us to make those choices. I'm not sure if I understand all those things, but He does. But He does. He allows us to make those choices.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.